Graphic Audio. A movie in your mind.
Bots. Ever since a scene at the house in Greenville, I've seen them roaming the city. The inventor's little helpers, looking for me. It's gotten so bad that I've started to go on patrol every night in Jersey City just to keep them down. This particular bot pauses as it scans a junked love seat in the alley. You see, the problem is they're getting smarter. For example, they figured out that ordinary abandoned sofas don't give off a heat signature. So I morph back to my Ms. Marvel form and embiggen a fist. Uh-oh. Also, sometimes, after you think you've smushed them, they give you a little blinking present. Learning to roll with it. Just another day on the job for Jersey City's own, well, only costume crime fighter. Up until fairly recently, I was a pretty normal Pakistani-American teenage girl with loving but slightly overbearing parents, struggling to find my place in the world. Then, after a party I wasn't supposed to be at, I got hit with this bizarre mist. You must have heard about it, it was in all the papers. And it turns out my place in the world is a pretty strange place. I now have superpowers, which sounds like one of my fanfics. No worries though, I use my powers to keep Jersey City safe. Which is getting complicated, since I now apparently have a nemesis. The nutjob and bot builder who calls himself the inventor. I think that covers the basics. Ah! Oh, it's just my boot. Actually, the cell phone stashed in my boot. Hello?
Kamala? It's Amir. Where are you?
Studying?
Yeah, right. Listen, Abu wants you to talk to Sheikh Abdullah after the food drive at the mosque tomorrow.
No! He hates me! Tell Abu I'll do the dishes every night for a month. I won't leave the house till I'm 30. I'll do whatever! Anything but a talk with Sheikh Abdullah!
Calm yourself. For real. He's not that bad. Just keep an open mind.
So here I am in the main prayer area at the masjid with a scarf over my head and a knee-length tunic over my jeans, feeling like a convict awaiting sentencing. There's an annual community food drive banner hanging from the ceiling and people are bustling in boxes of dry goods. The women all wear headscarves and both men and women are attired in a subdued mix of Western and Middle Eastern or South Asian styles. Maybe Sheikh Abdullah will be too busy to see me.
Sister Kamala Khan! Please, sit.
We both sit cross-legged on the carpet of the mosque.
Your father says you have been sneaking out and acting strangely.
Can we just get to the part where I say I'm sorry and skip the rest?
No, we cannot. Because if something is wrong, I need to know about it.
Nothing's wrong. It's not like that. It's... I don't want to lie, but I'm afraid you wouldn't believe me.
Try me.
I help people.
You help people?
Yeah. Sometimes people get into bigger trouble than they know how to get out of, so I help. Not very well, which is why I end up breaking curfew.
What are you not telling me?
Nothing! I mean, nothing I can't not tell you. I don't mean to disobey Abu and Ami. It's just that sometimes I have to in order to do the right thing. I can't just walk away if something bad is happening and I can help.
I see. Well, if you're not very good at it, helping people, that is, perhaps you need a teacher.
A teacher? Wait, you're not going to tell me to be a good girl, focus on my studies and do istighfar or something? That's a prayer of repentance.
If I told you that, you'd ignore me. I know how headstrong you are. So instead, I will tell you to do what you are doing with as much honor and skill as you can.
I can't believe it.
I thought you were going to warn me about Satan and boys.
I've been giving youth lectures at this mosque for 10 years. If I still have to warn you about Shaitan and boys, I should lose my job. I am asking you for something more difficult. If you insist on pursuing this thing you will not tell me about, do it with the qualities befitting an upright young woman. Courage, strength, honesty, compassion, and self-respect. Do we have a deal?
Yeah. I mean, yes, Hazrat Saheb. Thank you, Hazrat Saheb. But about finding a teacher, how am I supposed to find someone to teach me how to, you know, be better at helping?
As the ancient saying goes, when the student is ready, the master will appear.
So, hey, that wasn't so bad. I'm in a pretty good mood as I head down Cole Street, not far from my school. Roy's Comics is coming up on the left. It's a tiny shop on the street level of an aging row house, but Roy packs them in on Wednesdays. On the street right in front, there are warning cones around a huge pothole that's been there so long, it's kind of a local landmark. It even has a Twitter account. Really. A crude handmade sign affixed to one orange and white traffic cone says, Cole Street Pothole, watch your step. What was that? It sounded like it came from...
Hey, Kamala! You here for the latest issue of Magical Pony Adventures?
Hey, Roy. Yeah, does the Cole Street Pothole usually growl?
Growl? Like there are alligators in the sewer or something?
What?
Okay, good enough for me. Later.
Where are you going?
To alert the proper authorities!
Why don't we just call the water sewer garbage people?
I have this weird feeling as I sprint toward the Circle Q. A nutcase who staffs his stash house with robots and laser guns might conceivably put actual alligators in the actual sewer. A nutcase like the inventor. Costume, Bruno!
What? Now? You're going out? Where?
Sewers!
Are you gonna tell me what's going on?
I head toward the back of the store and yank open the employees-only door. Only after I figure out whether I'm right or not. In seconds, I'm standing in the alley in full Ms. Marvel regalia. A big yellow bolt down the front of my tunic, long red scarf unfurling heroically behind me. Costume, check. Secret hideout, check. Sidekick, check. Dastardly enemy, check. What's missing? Theme music. I need theme music.
Graphic Audio and Marvel present Ms. Marvel, Generation Y. Adapted from the graphic novel by G. Willow Wilson, Adrian Alfona, and Jacob Wyatt. Copyright Marvel. Directed and adapted for graphic audio by Richard Rowan. With performances by Shanta Parasharaman, David Coyne, Matthew McGee, Nora Ashradi, Andy Brownstein, Mahboud Ebrahimzadeh, Danny Stoller, Jacob Yeh, Evan Casey, Kimberly Gilbert, Casey Platt, James Lewis, David Jordan, Jefferson A. Russell, Kenyatta Rogers, Chris Gennebach, Thomas Keegan, Elizabeth Jernigan, Diane Kalita, Nathaniel Perry, Nanette Savard, and Richard Rowan. Graphic audio sound design by Nathaniel Perry.
Ugh. So this is nice. It's dark. It's humid. And there's a strange smell, like stuff decomposing, and other stuff living in the decomposing stuff. But no alligators. I've come to a junction in the sewer pipe. Branches of the pipe head off to the right and left. I arbitrarily take a left.
I'm starting to feel a little bit silly looking for alligators in the JC sewer system. I mean, the inventor seems pretty crazy, but he can't be that crazy. 10 feet or so beyond me, the tunnel opens up into a kind of storage tank, a wider, deeper space with deeper water and green algae-like slime on the walls. There's a metal grate overhead which admits slanting bars of sunlight, illuminating the half-dozen giant alligators below.
Oh, my loony auntie.
They're 15 to 20 feet long apiece, muscular, toothy. They all have gadgets affixed to their heads. Each one of them has a kind of control box with wires snaking into its rough skin, as if the wires connect directly to its brain. One of them also sports a small satellite dish, another what looks like a small digital camera like a flip cam. A third is wearing what I now realize must be a small digital projector.
Hello, my dear.
Because suspended in midair, Star Wars style, wearing a three-piece suit is a low-res version of what has to be
the inventor.
I assume you're the one they call Ms. Marvel. I'm sorry I can't be there to greet you in person. My name is Thomas Edison.
You're a bird.
I'm not a bird!
Sorry.
But he is. He's got human-like legs and arms and an old-timey vest, tie, and breeches, along with an overcoat he wears like a cape, but coming out of his scarf is a big bird head. His crest is down, curling back along his head like a giant cowlick.
It's my fault.
A little guy with big Coke bottle glasses steps into the flickering image.
My pet cockatiel contaminated his DNA when I was synthesizing him. Quiet, Knox.
The little guy steps back out of the projection.
When you say Thomas Edison, do you mean the Thomas Edison?
Sort of. I'm his clone.
Where are you? And why are you trying to kill me?
I'm not trying to kill you. Bots and bionic alligators are a very inefficient way to kill someone. I'm not the kind of mad genius who's actually an idiot. When I want to kill you, you'll know.
He gestures expansively at the huge alligators he hovers above.
Look around. See how calm they are. Alligators are not aggressive by nature, unless they smell blood. But at the push of a button.
Little red lights illuminate in the control boxes on top of the alligators' heads.
They will turn on anything that might be prey. Consider this a playful experiment. Can life forms be made to act against their own nature? Can we hotwire the brain to bypass its own lethargy?
You are certifiable.
No, I'm not. You haven't thought this through, Miss Marvel. If I don't want to kill you, it means I need you alive. And that... that should frighten you.
If you're not trying to kill me, then why go to all this trouble?
Simple. At first, I considered your arrival in Jersey City a nuisance. But now I see you are deeply relevant to my work. Fight, little girl. I want to watch you fight for your life.
Sir!
The little guy sticks his head back into the projection.
Sir! Infrared has detected someone else approaching the holding tank.
Someone? What do you mean, someone? This place was supposed to be locked down.
Whoa! A katana just whipped across the holding tank and embedded itself in the alligator's projector beanie, taking out the image of the inventor. Great. More bad guys? With swords? How much worse can this day possibly get? I head in the direction the katana came from, toward the broad, not very tall silhouette of a guy with what looks like pointy wings shooting out of his head.
Get ready to lose, weird short dude. I've got +10 heals. I pull back and begin fist. Power attack!
No way! You're kidding me! It's him! Wow! He twists in midair, boosting himself over my head by pushing deftly off my shoulder with one hand. Such athletic, very claws. So amazed.
Are you out of your mind, kid? I could have killed you. What in the heck are you doing down here?
I can't believe it! I'm gonna pass out!
He stands there, in living gold and black color, absently rubbing his knuckles.
I totally put you first in my fantasy hero team-up bracket!
Huh?
You're Wolverine! My Wolverine and Storm in Space fanfic was the third most upvoted story on Freaking Cool last month!
Oh my god.
I had you guys fighting this giant alien blob that farts wormholes!
Sounds great, kid. Wait. So what was the most upvoted story?
Cyclops and Emma Frost's romantic vacation in Paris?
This is the worst day of my life.
You have no idea how excited I am to meet you. We are totally twinsies. I thought...
Hold that thought.
A giant alligator comes at us through the water. I am big in a fist.
Hit it, kid! Right in the gullet!
I don't like punching animals.
You won't like being eaten by them either.
Its eyes roll as it floats belly up in the water. Is it dead?
Nah, just sleeping.
No, for real?
You really gotta learn to prioritize, kid.
Wait up!
Wolverine
is standing beneath what looks like a fancy camera, mounted to the ceiling of the tunnel, examining it with narrowed eyes.
Need to take out this bird-headed psychopath's eyes and ears.
Don't do anything. I've totally got this. I am bigging myself to reach it.
Good one. But it ain't Halloween. This is no place for a kid.
Hey, this is my fight. The inventor kidnapped my friend's brother and came after me when I rescued him. What are you doing here anyway?
Tracking a runaway, Julie. She disappeared from the Jean Grey school. Her trail goes cold right here.
Runaway? I saw a bunch of kids like that at the inventor's stash house in Greenville. It was like some kind of weird cult.
Yeah, well, that's a problem. People don't usually walk out of cults alive.
You think he's murdering them?
If we're gonna find out what's going on, we gotta get out of this sewer.
Metal gates have slammed down, in front and behind us.
Get ready.
Right. Ready for what? That answers that question. The floor opened up, and we're rocketing at a scary steep angle through a narrow curving pipe slide.
The biggin!
Oh, come on! Work, powers! And they do, just barely, as we fly out the drain pipe. I've got Wolverine dangling from one stretchy hand, as I dangle from the lip of the drain pipe with the other. The good news? The door in the floor up above must have closed because there isn't a stream of water pouring down on us. The bad news, it's a long way down. We're dangling above a large tiled room with an arched ceiling. It's moldy and crumbling. The words Grand Street Trains are spelled out in fading tiles on one wall. There's a cement platform where ghosts might wait for trains that never arrive. A series of metal turnstiles are chained off with big padlocks, preventing exit. Beyond them is a crumbling staircase that I guess leads up to the surface. Milky light filters down the stairs. It's an abandoned PATH train station. Water laps at the station platform. The station is completely flooded.
Oh, my lord, you're heavy.
Sorry. Metal bones.
No, seriously, I don't think I can hang on much longer.
Drop me.
But...
Do it. A planned fall is better than an unplanned fall.
Okay.
So I let go. He tucks his knees up and wraps his arms around them in a sort of modified cannonball.
That was kind of awesome. So...
A planned fall. Can I soak a 20-foot drop? Can I heal two broken legs?
If I make myself really small...
Maybe I won't hit my head at the bottom?
What the...
Wolverine splashes over and scoops up my tiny form in one hand.
Nice trick, kid.
Not really. My costume is turning into slime. I'm not supposed to get it wet.
He puts me down on the platform. Are you okay? You look like you're in pain.
I am in pain, so thanks for noticing.
But we're supposed to be superpowered twinsies. You've got healing factor, and I've got healing factor too. Not as awesome as yours. I have to be in my true form, and it makes me tired, but...
I did have a healing factor. I don't anymore.
Oh my god. You're actually hurt.
I'm actually hurt.
So like... Now you're just a short, angry man who punches stuff?
I knew I liked you the minute I saw you.
I support him under an arm as he limps along the platform. Don't worry, I'll get us out of here. You can leave the superheroing to me. I've been practicing.
Yeah, I can see that. You a mutant, then?
A mutant? Is that what I am? I guess I must be. I mean, what else? What else could I be? Get back! Get back!
Hey!
The thing rises up out of the water beside us, and just keeps on rising. Dungeon boss, most ginormous alligator ever. Difficulty rating, 10. Group size, solo.
Stand back, kid. I got this one.
No, no, you're hurt. I'll figure out a plan.
Run!
Good plan!
The alligator rears back, chunks of platform cascading from its jaws.
You gotta get away from the business end.
What?
Get on top of it. Go for its eyes. I'll keep it occupied.
Wolverine starts waving his arms, getting its attention.
Hey! Toothy! Over here!
Oh my god, oh my god, oh my god! As I leap onto its serrated back, like a flying squirrel going splat against a window. The giant gator chases Wolverine across the platform.
Never thought I'd say it, but I'm getting too old for this.
I clamber up the back of the alligator's neck, using the serrated scales along its back as hand and footholds.
I can do this! I can do this!
It knows it has a hitchhiker aboard and begins to thrash its massive head. I am big in my arms and hands for a better grip, struggling to hold onto the ridge of one eyebrow, or whatever the bump over its eye is called. I rear back one giant fist! This is gonna be so gross! And plunge it into the thing's eyeball. It thrashes about in pain.
Kid, be careful up there!
Sending me flying.
Kid, hang on, I'll get you!
Whoa there. Easy, fella. How's that one line about death go? Biting the big one? Guess this is what fancy people call literalism.
I'm as big as I can get now, sopping wet, totally owning the tiger by the tail metaphor.
Get back, giant lizard!
It cranes its thick neck to look back at me.
That's right! I said get back!
Sorry, giant sewer alligator. Now I'm running up its back. If it's a choice between you and me, I choose me. And when I get to the top, I grab its snout and yank back with all my embiggened strength.
Wolverine, do your claw thingy! Now!
I'm normal size now as I swim for the platform. Are you okay?
I ain't dead, so that's a start. Thanks, kid.
Don't thank me. For real. I don't like hurting stuff. Even giant sewer alligators. I mean, is it possible to help people without hurting other people? Or, you know, reptiles?
No, it ain't. It all circles around. The hurt, I mean. Sometimes you can avoid hurting other people, but it usually means you get hurt pretty bad instead.
He looks around, apparently taking in the dead alligator, the ruined subway station, and the whole general situation.
The pain's gotta go somewhere.
I don't want to believe that.
Yeah, well, you're young.
He walks over to examine the debris-choked exit near one end of the subway platform. The jumbo gator knocked huge chunks of brick and stone all over the place.
We gotta keep moving. If we can unblock this exit...
Not gonna work. We'll never clear away all that stuff blocking the stairs. If we're gonna get out of here, it has to be another way. We both stare at the murky arch of the flooded subway tunnel as it curves off into the unknown.
Great. Who knows what else is down there?
This is like those horror movies my parents wouldn't let me watch.
If you've never watched them, how do you know what they're like?
Hello? It's called having an imagination.
So the worst thing you can imagine is a giant alligator in an old subway tunnel?
I guess so.
Your parents deserve a medal. So, now might not be the best time to say this, but even without two broken ribs, I'm not the best swimmer.
No prob. You can ride on my back.
What?
Come on.
I'm way too heavy for you.
I'll just embiggen my legs, and the buoyancy of the water will do the rest. Coming?
Never tell anyone about this. Ever.
Sorry, I've already pictogrammed this whole sad episode.
Like I said, metal bones.
The water's up to my hips now, which means about 6 feet deep with my current height. So, how'd you lose it anyway?
Lose what?
Your healing factor.
Long story. The moral of which is, appreciate it while you got it. The only power worth snot is the power to get up after you fall down. Everything else, the fancier, flashier powers, that's just extra.
I never thought of it like that before.
Yeah, well, when you get to be an old fart like me, this is the kind of stuff that preoccupies you while you're on the john.
Hey, what's that up there? The ladder coming down from that pipe?
Maybe some kind of maintenance tunnel. Worth a shot. Hold on.
Hey, watch it!
I see something. More tunnel. It goes up a way and then branches off. It's pretty narrow. You claustrophobic?
Even if I am, I'll pretend like I'm not.
Atta girl.
Hanging upside down from the access ladder, he reaches for my hand.
Let's go.
So over the next several minutes, we start working our way to the surface. Traveling through maze-like ducts, pipes, tunnels, and whatever.
So what's a kid like you doing with Carol Danvers' old name? Those are big shoes to fill.
Big boots, actually. And it's complicated. I've looked up to Carol my whole life. And when she came to New York and all that stuff went down, where she basically saved the city single-handedly, I felt like she was the bravest person who ever lived.
Give me a hand here.
Sure. Then I got my powers and I became Ms. Marvel. Literally. I guess that's who I thought a hero had to be. It took me a while to figure out that Ms. Marvel could be me. But I didn't have to pretend to be someone else in order to wear the lightning bolt.
But you're wearing a mask.
I have a very overprotective family.
They don't know?
Nope. My dad would have a heart attack. My mom would have, like, 3 heart attacks.
If you say so.
What's that supposed to mean?
It means a mask cuts both ways. Be careful what you tell yourself while you're wearing it.
So now we're standing in a small chamber of some kind, and hey, about 10 feet above us is a storm drain, and daylight is streaming in. There's some kind of electric panel on one wall that seems out of place, but I'm just happy to see any sign of the surface. Finally, terra firma.
Wish we had a ladder.
Who cares? I'll just embiggen my legs and boost you up there.
No offense, but your powers kind of freak me out. And I've seen some crazy stuff.
A metal shield slammed shut across the grate overhead.
Greetings, my dears.
The inventor's beaky face fills the panel screen on the wall.
I see you bested my Megagator. I'm very impressed. By you, I mean. Less so by the Megagator.
Now that the light from the surface has been cut off, everything is illuminated by the bluish glow from the screen.
However, I'm not quite finished with my work, so I'm afraid I can't let you out just yet. Good luck getting out of this one.
The walls are closing in, like the trash compactor scene in Star Wars. The first one? Episode 4. Whatever.
You can punch an alligator, but cement and steel are another matter.
I've had it with this crazy cockatoo.
Cockatiel. He's a cockatiel. So, what do we do now? He rips the panel screen off the wall. Behind it is a blue glow. A complex mass of interconnected fiber optic type cables.
This maniac's gotta have some kind of power source that ain't connected to the city grid. If we shut it down, maybe we can stop the walls from turning us into jelly.
I braced myself against a wall, trying to slow it down, without much success.
But how do we do that?
He grabs a handful of the glowing blue cables inside the panel.
How the heck should I know? I never made it past high school.
I'm in high school! Are you okay?
Yeah. Just give me a second. Ooh.
No. Let me do it.
It's gonna hurt. It always hurts. That's how this works. You just gotta trust yourself to come through it.
It's like being snapped with a rubber band, except 1,000 times worse, and all over. I can feel my healing factor kick in, sucking energy out of my muscles, my everything. It's almost worse than getting hurt. I breathe. I trust myself. Wolverine is right. It works.
Are you okay?
Just give me a second. It takes a lot out of me, you know? I get really hungry. I could use a gyro right now. A big one.
When we get out of here, I will buy you the world's biggest gyro. But we gotta keep moving.
He looks down into the conduit where the wires are still sizzling.
You think you can shrink down and follow those cables back into the wall? They've gotta be hooked up to something.
Okay, find the power source. Right.
He picks up my doll-sized body and places me gently in the conduit.
Be careful. Holler if you need to. I'm gonna find another way in.
Gotcha.
I creep along a coiled river of cable, snaking through a narrow channel through the wall. There's faint blue light coming from the end of the hole, really a tunnel from my perspective. Beyond the tunnel opening is a windowless cinder block room with a big metal door in one side.
Oh no!
The power source. It's a person. At the center of the room is an unconscious teenage girl in shorts and t-shirt, lying suspended in an open tank of glowing blue liquid. Fiber optic cables run down from the hole in the wall where I am and snake across the floor to connect to the tank. The girl is connected to thin wires that end in round pads placed in various spots on her forehead, arms, and legs, like electrodes on an EKG machine. Two scuttlebots seem to be guarding the place. Is this what the inventor is doing with all the missing kids? Hooking them up to machines? By the time I hit the concrete floor below, I'm normal-sized, but with one embiggened fist. I thought the inventor was just some creepy dude with a cult following, but I'm finding out he's something much, much worse. The remaining scuttlebot nails me with an energy blast, which sends me smashing through the wall. Fortunately, Wolverine is standing on the other side of that wall.
Thanks for the entrance.
Holler.
Yeah!
And he takes out the remaining bot. The girl.
Oh my gosh, Julie.
The electrode pads fall away as he lifts her out of the tank.
Hey kid, come on. Wake up.
There are others.
Out cold. I need to get her to a hospital. Through that door.
Right. You do that. I'll find a way to track down the rest of the runaways. If this is what the inventor is doing to them, we gotta move fast. Outside, it's a glorious late afternoon day, in a dingy, trash-strewn industrial strip outside a wastewater facility. We must be at the edge of Jersey City.
Sit this one out, kid. This is an Avengers-sized problem.
Yeah, but no.
No?
This is my city. My home. I know it inside and out. If the inventor messes with Jersey City, he messes with me. I can handle this.
You sure about that?
Hey, if I can survive getting gassed with weird green mist and waking up with superpowers, I can survive—
Wait. Green mist? Are you saying you got your powers after the Terrigen Bomb?
The who what?
Nothing. Forget I said anything. Okay, we'll try it your way for now. But this ain't a game. I'm gonna keep my eye on you.
So, I guess this is goodbye, huh?
Nah. It's see you later. I still owe you a gyro.
It occurs to me
that Sheikh Abdullah was right. When the student is ready, the master will appear. This has turned out to be a pretty decent day after all.
The Hudson River seems so quiet at night from our perch here in New Atalan. So deceptive. You can't tell what might be happening. Just beneath the surface.
Sorry, Medusa. Am I interrupting something?
No, nothing. I was just looking at the water and thinking... Never mind. What can I do for you, Steve?
What I've got can wait.
There's no need.
Well, Wolverine just called. Seems he's found a young inhuman patrolling Jersey City. Says she's got no idea what she is.
Another one. They are so many now. So many.
Logan says this one is different. Special.
They're all special, Captain Rogers.
Not special enough for a phone call from a guy who's famous for not liking people. She must have made an impression. Here's an image of her that Logan sent to my phone. He took her to lunch, apparently. She's not camera shy. She obviously posed for it, since she's giving the peace sign and grinning.
I'll send someone to bring her here right away. She'll need protection, training.
I don't think that's what Logan had in mind. He says she's determined to figure things out on her own. Apparently, she's almost as stubborn as he is.
What is that she's stuffing her face with?
It looks like a gyro, I think.
I can see why he likes her. This one is special. She needs a companion. Someone to help her and to be my eyes and ears while she grows into her power.
You're not going to send him, are you?
There are few I trust more, Steve. Lockjaw? I have a job for you.
It's early evening. The sun is going down. I've been canvassing the shabby streets of Greenville as Ms. Marvel, trying to get any intel I can on the other runaways, just as I told Wolverine I would. Battling the Inventor's giant sewer alligators over the weekend got me thinking, why are kids like me always being drafted into wars we didn't start?
Holy, what the heck is that?
It's like adults are too wrapped up in their own worlds to notice the really big stuff.
What is that thing?
Weird alien mist, runaway kids being kidnapped by a crazy Birdman clone.
Oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god!
This is the kind of thing you'd think people would notice. But you know what I found out? A problem has to get pretty gigantic before anybody notices anything at all.
Somebody call animal control or something!
That's half of heroing, noticing things. So you have no idea where these two kids in this picture might have gone? Never heard them mention someone called the Inventor?
Nope, sorry.
I like your costume, though.
Oh, jeez!
What? What's wrong? Where's everybody going? Noticing and not being afraid. Oh, look at you! He's kind of a bulldog, about the size of a small hippo, with a tiny antenna or something coming out of his forehead and a big bow around his neck. There's a tag attached to the bow. What's it say? Hello, my name is Lockjaw. I like hugs. You are just the cutest, most humongous thing I've ever seen. When you decide not to be afraid, you can find friends in super unexpected places.
Who's a good dog? Who's a good bizarro doggy?
So, he followed me home. My parents are gaping as Lockjaw and I stand in the doorway of my house. I'm in normal clothes now, of course, with my arms as far around him as they can go without him beginning. Ami? Abu? Can I keep him?
No! Absolutely not! You may not bring this deformed monstrosity into our house.
Dude, you got a dog?
I know he looks scary, but he's totally sweet.
Ya Allah, everything is bigger in America, even the canines.
You can't have dogs in the house, sis. They're not Pak.
That means pure.
What will the neighbors think?
Abu helps my stunned mother back into the living room. Amir stands in the doorway with his arms crossed. I'll keep him in the backyard. I'll take care of him myself, I promise!
You're gonna max out your allowance on dog food alone.
I don't care.
It's your funeral. I'll try to talk Ami and Abu off the ledge.
Huzzah! Lockjaw, we're gonna take that as a yes. I'm sorry, boy.
You have to stay here for the night. I'll see you in the morning. Be good. Through my bedroom window, I can see Lockjaw tied to the tree down in the shadows, looking up at me like he knows I'm looking at him. I've never had a pet before. I kind of want to see if Lockjaw plays fetch. But I have to move fast if I'm going to stay ahead of the inventor. Julie Harrison, the mutant girl who disappeared on her way to the Jean Grey School, has been in a coma since Wolverine and I found her in the inventor's sewer laboratory. She's the only lead I have on the kids the inventor has kidnapped. I'm running out of time. Hey, Bruno? I've pulled up Julie's Facehead account.
Yeah, I'm looking at it too.
Look at her last status update. Side trip, met some like-minded souls on the road. So excited.
She sounds like a hippie.
The post is geotagged. Can you look up those coordinates?
Yeah, sure. Give me a second. What? That's weird. It's some random spot outside Bayonne. The map doesn't show anything there.
Ugh. Nowhere. Great. I was hoping the inventor would keep his secrets somewhere with convenient path train access. I have to go investigate. How am I going to get there?
Kamala? You still there?
Hold on, Bruno. I think my new dog just teleported into my room.
You got a dog?
Yeah. Okay, bye, Bruno. Gotta run.
Wait, teleported?
Did you just bamf in here all by yourself? You really are a bizarro doggy. Lockjaw, how good are you at reading maps? Okay. Early morning, the alley behind the Circle Q.
You found a giant teleporting dog wandering down Cater Avenue. Is this for real?
It totally is.
And now you're going to use him to teleport to some unmarked crazy person's lair in Bayonne.
I totally am.
I want a refund. A refund on life.
I hold onto Lockjaw's scruff with one hand. Am I supposed to click my heels or something? How does this work?
So yeah, I'll totally hang here and take out the trash while you guys warp out to fight bad guys. I don't feel emasculated at all.
So I presume we're somewhere outside Bayonne now, what feels like 3 seconds later. Construction debris is silhouetted on the horizon. Cranes, half-built metal skeletons of buildings and old water towers. It's a deserted industrial slum. Gross. Abu would say this is exactly the sort of place where evil djinn would hang out. Or evil geniuses. I use my extra long legs to cover some ground. That's a footprint! Small enough to be a girl's footprint! Why would she come here? What could a teenage girl possibly be doing in a place like this? Hey! Where are you going? Lockjaw stops at a chain that's slung across an opening in a corrugated metal fence. A sign hanging from the chain says, "Private property. Seriously, keep out." She went this way? If you say so. Time to trespass. We pass by some big piece of ambiguous industrial machinery and crouch behind a piece of big industrial pipe. There's a man-made valley below. Whoa. So that's what doesn't show up on the map. What would the inventor want with an abandoned power plant? I don't know about this bizarro dog. Something doesn't add up. Are you sure we're in the right place? A giant robot fist almost pancakes me. Okay, maybe we are in the right place after all. So, giant robot, humanoid, sort of. More sleek and high-tech than the scrapasaur the inventor sent after me a while back. There's a glowing blue bubble in the center of it. I can do giant robot. Ambiguous! It can take a punch in the face, though. Really strong, too. It grabs me. And suddenly, I'm airborne.
switching to defensive weapons array.
Huh? Epaulets of over-the-top energy blasters pop out of the robot's shoulders.
Initiating weapons command sequence in 3, 2, 1.
Okay. Ow. Big headbutting. Giant robot causes much pain.
Man?
It's nothing. My head's still ringing, and I landed on my arm when this thing threw me. I think it's fractured. I'm fixing it right now. Here, help me flip this thing over. I want to check out the glowy blue pod thing embedded in its chest. It's warm. Like, person temperature. I wonder what this button does.
Man?
What the what? There's a teenage kid inside, curled in a fetal position with all sorts of wires attached to him. It's that kid from the Greenville house where I rescued Vic. It's like he's in some kind of coma. Is this what's happening to all the missing kids? I've got to get him out of this thing. Hold on, just a few more.
No, stop.
Huh?
I'm part of it now. I'm giving back.
Whatever you say, dude.
Lockjaw, warp us to the nearest hospital.